And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
This morning I do bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, who tells us that we do not know the hour nor the day when he shall come in glory. Amen. It is man's nature to search for the truth, to look for answers, to speculate in what was and what might be. Just look at the proliferation of books, TV specials, articles, and speakers who all present the latest version of their guess as to what the truth really is. Well, I'm spiritual. Well, I believe. Unfortunately, the Pope himself said something, there are many roads to God. There is one, only one road. We know that. Christmas specials on the major networks have been replaced by news magazines exploring the truth in such captivating shows as the real Jesus, or Jesus, the man behind the myth. One of the nation's bestsellers, unfortunately, is the Da Vinci Code, a novel which many find hard to accept. We should not accept it. It is not a mass nonfiction book. Recent programs on the History Channel have explored everything from Mary and Mary, the true story, to the lost books of the Bible. There is a broad speculation about everything from where did the children of Adam find their wives? Did Mary? Some of this, but this has been researched. Did Mary have any other children? Did Jesus marry Mary Magdalene and father a race of nobility? And it goes on and on. We watch these programs with fascination. Some of us buy each new book as soon as it hits the shelves, and find ourselves exploring each new revelation, wondering how much true and how much is conjecture. Most of what I say, I believe, is conjecture. And we sort of laugh at it because it seems ridiculous, but people fall for this stuff. Even prominent religious believers are not immune. This morning's gospel speaks of signs whereby we shall know when the end is near. I often hear fundamentalist preachers relating how the end times will appear. Throughout history, people have tried to figure out when Christ will return. Remember, he says, the Son of Man knoweth not when he cometh. It isn't because he can't know, but he chooses not to know, is what I think. How can we speculate that? But some people speculate on that. They have all sold, and they've sold their things. They've owned and waited on mountaintops. Some have gathered in camps and in anticipation of the next coming. Some have committed mass suicides. While these are extreme cases, there are many more in mainline churches that seek to inspire relationship with Christ through fear. Holy fear is right, but the holy fear is not like this, but the awesomeness of God and realizing he is Father, his Creator, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the one and only God. That is what holy fear consists of. Even some of our Roman brothers, Roman Catholics and sisters, are not immune to try as they try to convince their separate brethren, us, Baptists. We're not separated brethren. We're worshiping God. We're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We may do it in different fashion, but we are not separated brethren. And they even go further to journey home to the one true church where they believe the Roman Catholic Church, is the only place where they can feel the true salvation exists through the Holy Mother Church of Rome. No. Is there any wonder why the world is going mad? Why have we tossed Scripture onto the heap of ancient literature? I have a Bible, which is the King James Bible. It's the whole text of it. But it's a view of it as literature, nothing else. It's interesting to read it. And even the non-believers realize the majesty of the words of Holy Scripture. Even they recognize that, even though they may not own what it says. Why are we adrift seeking answers and yet seeing clearly what is right in front of our faces? God tells us is in His Word. Again, this idea of many roads to God. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I didn't have to go to seminary to learn that. After watching a recent program about some new theory about who a group of experts thought Christ really was, for people to go looking at this strange stuff. I believe Christ is exactly who He says He is. He is, and all the rest of the stuff is unimportant. A lot of other stuff is not only unimportant, it's not only silly, but it's blasphemous. How profound. Because in a world where man seeks to dismantle everything that our Lord and Savior has given us, this one statement tosses all men's efforts into the trash heap. Here in the haze of our own seeking was a clear view to the cross of Christ. This morning's gospel contains a great deal of information that alludes to the end times. There is no shortage of verses in Scripture, in the entire book of Revelation, that speaks of the days of Christ's second coming. Why does it matter? Our Lord says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. This alludes to this Sunday. You know, we're approaching Christmas, and in the middle of celebrating, observing Advent, we're talking about the Bible itself. Well, there's a reason for that. The Word was made flesh. So we're approaching that time where we celebrate the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There exists today a great debate about the Bible, the Holy Scripture. Contained on the pages of God's words are the revelations of Himself. The words of our Lord, the law of the Old Testament. The good news of the New Testament all flow together to help us develop a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is not a book of stories only. It is God speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. Stealing a metaphor from the computer age, we often hear that the Bible is described as the only book where you will ever use an automatic download. What that means is that the Holy Spirit, as you read, will illumine you and help you understand. See new things each time you read. A lot of us are reading through the Gospel of St. Luke, reading a chapter a day, 24 chapters in the book of Luke. And each day we read it, and then on Christmas Eve we finish. What a wonderful way to mark the time of Advent. But I've read it many times, and I'm seeing new things I didn't see before just by reading. I just read the 8th chapter today. Boy, there's something always new in Scripture because the Spirit of God is in it and teaches us as we read it with reverence and with purpose. The messages of God are as spoken through His Son, through the prophets, through the inspired writings of the many authors of Scripture, who have left us this important guide to use in shaping our relationship with the living God through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the critical understanding we need to embrace. Our God is a living God. Holy Scripture is living because God inspired, and it lives as He lives. Not one who just came to us a short time, 2,000 years ago. Our God continues to reveal Himself through the Holy Spirit, which resides in all of us, imparted in our baptism. Scripture is that fuel that fires His Spirit and guides us in the strengthening of our relationship with Jesus Christ. All that we do, our learning, our teaching, our witness, our worship, our works, and our profession comes from the faith that grows in us as we seek God's guidance to His Word. I've heard some say that we have a new revelation, or that Scripture should only be a guide, or that tradition is as important as Scripture, or that reason is as important as God's Word. When we embrace these concepts, that is when we stray from the path that takes us to the cross of Christ. Scripture is a revelation of our God to us. We can dissect it, point out its supposed contradictions, which aren't so. We may see it like that, but if we look at the whole counsel of Scripture, that's not so. It says it lacks historical proof, but none of that matters. It does have historical proof. Nothing in it is anti-history. It is not designed as a history book, but the history contained in it is nonetheless true. God gave us His Word through His Scripture, His Word being put into print by those inspired by the Holy Ghost to write. And quite frankly, that's quite enough. I do not question God's virgin birth, no. His wisdom in my life, His death on the cross for me, His promise of salvation, His resurrection, His promise of coming again. As revealed in His Word, it is a matter of faith and man's pitiful attempts to explain or question or even dismantle that truth is insignificant. There's only one truth. God is the source of all truth. So there aren't truths. There aren't a question of what is real, good for you, may be not good for me. Truth is not relevant. Truth comes from a single source, God Himself. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, makes it clear. Whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Do we need to question His spoken word? No. Do we need to question His promises to us? Do we need to question His dying for us? His resurrection and triumph over the grave? If we do, then what hope have we? What hope have we? There's nothing. St. Paul says otherwise. This isn't so, then let us eat, drink, and marry, for tomorrow we die. Man in his vanity will always seek to question God, to test Him, to cast doubt on His promises to us. That vanity and its end result in the work of the devil in mankind. That is why so many are lost. So many have no hope. So many despair because they have been turned from God. And that falls upon us, people that wear the collar, that do not steep themselves in Scripture and prayer and start wandering off into heresy, causing schism. To those who would seek to destroy all that God has given us, we can only say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Every church and every person who has set Scripture aside has eventually gone astray. When we do not seek to understand God's revelation to us through Scripture by the power of His Holy Spirit, we allow our faith to be compromised. In that faith, we have the comfort of all that God has promised us and is dying for us on the cross, in the forgiveness of our sins, and in the joy of salvation and eternal life. If the Bible is just another book, then Christ is just another man. If the Bible is just another book, then Christ is another man. Do not be misled. The revelation of the living God in speaking to us in Scripture will always be questioned by those who do not understand Christ or the beauty of His coming. It is our obligation to witness to our faith, to try to guide those who are lost, to witness to the joy and comfort that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ through our faith. Let us deepen our faith in our daily reading of His Word, in our daily devotion, in our frequent prayer. Glorify God in everything you do, for in that end, that is what truly matters. I pray that the study of Scripture will be as important in our spiritual growth as our worship, as our nourishment through the sharing of the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament of the altar, in our repentance, in our works through faith, in our parish life. I pray that we will not, that we will be able to set aside all the distractions of men. May all of these together lead us to a deeper and unquestioning faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the gift that he has given us through his grace and unending love. So I end with this as I repeat the collect for today. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience to come with thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.